series on Jesus Made Headlines. Now, there's heaps I could be talking about on this, but I thought I'd bring it just full circle with this whole series. And today we're going to just focus in on Peter. Okay, but before we dive in, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for being a good, loving, gracious, merciful, compassionate God. As we study the life of your disciple Peter, we ask for wisdom to see your God-given hand ordering the affairs of his life so that your love would reign. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come illuminate these scriptures which you inspired to be written, and we ask that in the end that we would see, that we would know, we would love, and we'd follow the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So this morning, as we just look at the life of Peter, I want to answer this question, and that is this question for all of you. What does God think of you? What does God think of you? To answer this, we're going to look at the life of Peter, because Peter was one of Jesus' earliest and closest disciples. Okay, he was the one that was like all heart, but only used half his head at times. All right? Because there's a moment in the middle of Jesus' ministry where Jesus asked the disciples, well, who do you say that I am? Okay, and Peter was the only one that spoke up. And he says, oh, you're the Son of God. And Jesus is like, well, that's right, Peter. And then Jesus goes on to talk about the cross and everything like that. And Peter's like, oh, no way. No way. No. He stepped in. He started criticizing him. Now, think about that, okay? Jesus then puts Peter in his place, because you don't rebuke the Son of God, and that's not how it works, all right? Okay. But then we move forward, okay, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he asked his disciples to pray with him, to pray so that he, you know, sort of like wouldn't fall asleep, you know, but soldiers came, and they arrested Jesus. Now, when the disciples woke up, Peter was the one who pulled out a fishing knife, okay? Peter was prepared to go to war for Jesus, you know? Peter's like, you know, get behind me, Jesus, you know, sort of like, I'll protect you. God, you know, what's in his mind there, okay? But Peter isn't much of a fighter, okay? Jesus basically just says, just knock it off, Peter, all right? But they arrest Peter. They lead him away to a courtyard. And Peter and John follow. And then what happens then? The whole world just collapses. Okay? Now, it's within this context in the courtyard. Someone says to Peter, hey, aren't you one of those guys following this Jesus fellow around? And Peter's like, no, not me. I'm sure that I saw you, you know, with him. You know, you're one of those guys, aren't you? And Peter's like, no, not me. Hey, you even sound like him. It's got to be you. And then Peter gets even louder. No, I don't know him. And just to prove he's not one of those Jesus people, he starts swearing again. Swearing like a sailor. All right? And the text tells us that it's then that the rooster crowing. It says that Jesus looked right at Peter, and what was Peter's response? He ran. So there's a lot of shame in Peter when we come to the text that we're going to look at today. If you have your Bibles with you, you might want to turn to John chapter 21. You could look it up electronically. I am going to have something on the screen as well. But the text begins by saying that Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. Now, this has all happened after the death, okay, the burial, and then the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus has started appearing to people all over the place. There's excitement, but there's also a lot of confusion. Like, what does this actually mean? Okay, he's alive, but yeah, what's going on here? Because Jesus isn't explaining it. There's hope that's building, but they just don't know what's going on. But in the midst of all this, an angel comes to one of the women that's, you know, been a follower of Jesus and says, go tell the disciples and Peter to meet him by the sea. Now, you've got to hear that clearly. Why did the angel throw in the and Peter? Probably because Peter's at the place where he doesn't think that he's invited to anything anymore. Okay? He's in that place of thinking, I messed up big time. All right? You know, but Peter gets the invite. He shows up. And then in verse 3, Simon Peter says to them, I'm going fishing now. You look at that and go, yeah, big deal. So what? Okay. Some people have said that, you know, he was just going to kill some time, just have some fun. Okay. But later in the text, we find out that they fished all night. I don't know about you, but that's not my idea of fun. Okay. All right. Okay. But you've got to understand who's talking here and what was just said. Peter said, I'm going fishing now. This is a career move. This is Peter, a career fisherman, just like his father was before that, but he's making a statement about what he is now going to do. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I knew best. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know, because right up to this moment with Jesus, you know, sort of like, he'd been following Jesus. I mean, it was Jesus that called Peter away from his job. He said, come follow me. We spoke about this in the first week of this series, and Peter did. He immediately left everything to follow Jesus. But now Peter turns around and he says, you know what? I'm going back to my job. I'm going back to my job. I'm just going to step away from what God wants me to do with my life. I've been a letdown. Haven't been much of a follower of Jesus, so I'm not perfect. How does this translate to us? I don't read my Bible every day. I don't even pray every day, you know. Don't really trust God with all that's happening in my life. I might as well just step away from the God things. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. I'm just going to take a step away from everything. Now it gets interesting, because after making this decision and stepping away, disciples caught nothing, okay? That's God's doing, all right? Okay? You think God is just going to let his disciples go? No, he's going to come for them. You think he's just going to let them run away from him? No way, okay? It says, that night they caught nothing. Verse 4 tells us, as day was breaking. Now Jesus stood on the shore. He's coming for them, but the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. Okay, now, you've got to ask yourself, why didn't they know? Okay, all right? These are the guys that have been with Jesus for 3 years. So why didn't they know it was Jesus? Why didn't they recognize him? Was he too far away? I mean, the text later tells us probably about 50 meters, okay? Was it his disfigurement? You know, because Revelation tells us that he still bears the scars. So, or was it just disbelief? I can't believe Jesus is really here. I mean, what's going on here? Well, I'll tell you what I think it is, and I think I've got biblical evidence to, you know, to back me up on this. I don't think they recognize Jesus in this moment because Jesus is playing with them. Now, you may be sitting there going, whoa, 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 Andrew, you know, just, there's evidence of this right through the resurrection appearances. All right, where Jesus is constantly messing with people. Don't believe me. Okay, one chapter before, Mary goes to anoint the body. She shows up at the tomb. The stone's rolled away. You see, you know, she looks in. Jesus' body is gone, so she starts crying. But then Jesus shows up, and he says, why are you crying? He knows why she's crying. And then he says, well, who are you looking for? He knows who she is looking for. And then she starts saying, well, I'm looking for Jesus. I can't find him. They start this conversation. I don't know about you, but I read that and I go, what's Jesus' angle here? All right, what's going on? Okay, and then John tells you that she thought he was a gardener. Why? Does she think that Jesus is a gardener? Do you have his gardening tools or something? You know, what's going on here? You know, did he have messy hands? I think he's just messing with her. Okay, don't believe me. Think about what happened to the road to Emmaus. Two other disciples, Jesus suddenly appeared. Did they recognize who he was? No. They start having this huge conversation about all the things that had happened with Jesus. And Jesus, they're going, oh, this is interesting. Yeah. And they're talking about him. He's messing with them as well. Okay? All right. You've got to, it's incredible. It's incredible what happens. So it's all like, now what's interesting here is that Jesus calls out to his disciples in verse 5. The NIV uses the word friends, which is a little bit unfortunate, okay? In the original language, it's like he's called them little boys. And you'd be thinking, well, what's going on here? It's like, hey, little boys, you don't have any fish, do you? It's like the way you're living your life, it's really not working, is it? You don't really understand what's going on here. So Jesus is talking to them like a little kid. I love it, okay? It says they answered him. No. So then he says, well, cast your net in the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it, okay? And they haul in this huge quantity of fish. Now, does this sound familiar? Okay. You know, week one of our series, I was speaking about this miracle that actually happened with Peter, all right? This isn't the first time that Jesus has done this miracle with the fish, and he does it here. I really think at the beginning of the day there to say, Peter, I am not done with you yet, okay? In the moment of Peter's greatest failure, Jesus is recreating the miracle that he first used to call Peter to walk with him. So how does God respond to his failure? He recreates the miracle. He creates the miracle that sends a message. The relationship is still open, Peter. You know, you may not think it is, but it still is. You know, I'm letting you know, Peter, you're not too far gone. And the truth is, neither are we. Neither are we. How does God treat us and our failures? Does he yell at us? I mean, sometimes it's easy to hear that voice of condemnation. You know, sort of like that voice that calls us a loser all the time, that we won't make it. Often we can think that is God. You know, we imagine him on the shore with this angry tone. Oh, you guys, just get out of that boat. But he's not like that. He's not like that. He recreates the miracle to let Peter know that the door is still open. And Peter does something that I certainly pray that, you know, maybe some of you might want to do today, in that he stops running away from God and moves towards him. Was it pretty? Nope. Okay. He puts on his clothes and dives in the water. Okay. It says he threw himself into the sea. That's what the Bible says. Okay, it's not a dive. It's, you know, not a pretty dive that you see on the TV or anything like that. It's probably a bomb off the side of the boat. I don't know. It's not pretty. It's a mess. Because Peter's a mess. And John's showing us this. You see in verse 8, John writes, the other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, and they were not far from the land. And so they arrive on the shore in verse 9, and it says they got out on the land and they saw a charcoal fire. Remember that for a moment. Charcoal fire. Jesus invites them to bring some of the fish that they just caught. Okay? And then they ate. Verse 12, Jesus says, come and have some breakfast. So what does God do to you and your failure? How does he talk to you? Does he whip them? Does he yell at them, shout condemnations? No, he's gentle. He cooked breakfast. Now, why mention the type of fire? Charcoal. I mean, it's a very particular word. Precise. There's only two places that this word shows up in the whole of Scripture. Right here. And the other time it shows up is when Peter was warming himself around on the night that he betrayed Jesus. The relationship is open, Jesus is saying. Jesus is recreating the moment of connection. He's saying to Peter, I still want you. I still want you. The relationship, it's not broken. It says in verse 15, they'd finished breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of God, John. Jesus never called him that. You know, if Peter didn't pick up the message about the fire, the type of fire, he gets it here. Okay? Jesus is calling him by his full name. Think about that for a moment. When does your mother call you by your full name? Yeah, you've got to listen. Okay? You've got to listen. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, commentators it's got a lot of confusion about this. Who are these that it's talking about? Some people think it just referred to the disciples. Jesus was going, oh, do you love me more than these, the other disciples? Some other scholars think it was referring to the fish. You know, do you love me more than the fish? Why the fish? Well, that was his career move. That's what he knew how to do. Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than the thing that you thought you were going back to? Do you love me more than your income? Part of me thinks that Jesus is just going these and it's all of that combined into the one. I don't know, okay, I'll be honest. But he says, do you love me more than these? And he says, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He says, feed my lambs. And then he said to him the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, take care of my sheep. And then he said a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter's showing great persistence in his answers. He says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Now, as a kid, when I used to read this, I used to think, is Jesus needing a hearing aid? You know, what's going on here? Why did he have to ask the question three times? Is Jesus rubbing Peter's face in it? You know, sort of like saying, you know, sort of like, you know, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, well, you didn't really do that a couple of nights ago, did you? You know, so like, let's run it again. Do you love me, Peter? Quite honestly, as a kid, that's what I thought he was doing. You know, if you want to shame Peter, you talk about his past. But what's Jesus doing here? He's talking about his future. His future. Do you love me, Peter? You know that I do. And he says, well, feed my sheep. I think what Jesus is doing here is he is saving Peter's life. He's saving it. If Jesus didn't recreate this moment, you think about this for a moment. Every time Peter heard a rooster crow, he'd be reminded of what he did. There'd be shame. There'd be guilt. He is the one that betrayed him. He's the one that walked away. It would have dominated him. And this would have all he'd been thinking about for the future. I think Jesus recreates the moment of his greatest wound, not to hurt Peter, but to heal him. To heal him. I think that's what he wants to do with us as well. When God begins to move in our lives, you know, he will fly forward the hands of grace to us. Jesus takes the moment of our greatest wounds. Think about that for a moment. Those times where we're really hurt. Those times where we need to be forgiven. And he says, I'm here for you. It's one thing to be forgiven, but it's another thing to be restored. And that's what he does. That's what he does with Peter. He does that through grace in incredible ways. This is what we need to know. God's plan, God's passion is to redeem us. It's to save us. It's to forgive us. But it's also to restore us. Think about that for a moment. God is bigger than our past. He's more concerned for our future. This act of grace, this act of forgiveness, this act of restoration that God wants to give us, it can't be forced. Like anything, it's got to be received like a gift, freely, willfully, intentionally. Have a look at this video.